T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, we do have some breaking news. Going to go to my partner here, Randy McMichael. What you got?
We've been sitting down waiting for the Deshaun Watson news. According to Adam Schefter and a lot of other credible sources, it says that NFL and NFLPA reached an agreement on an 11-game suspension. 11-game suspension plus $5 million that will go to charity and counseling. It is a deal that has been agreed to but not signed. So obviously he has not signed it. It was an agreement between these two. They say it's going to get done, and he will be back. The first game back for Deshaun Watson as the Cleveland Browns, if everything stands, will be against the Houston Texans. Wow. So obviously this is something that I thought they were going to get him for the whole year. Never ever heard of them negotiating a punishment, but obviously they did not appeal this for him to get those 6 games. I said this. They're going to add more games on. This is not going to be a 2-game add-on, Rob.
Well, in this climate, the optics of that in our present climate are kind of icky in a way.
Yes.
I know there's no criminal charges brought. And you got all these, but there's so many. I just feel icky about the whole thing. I don't know what to make of it. You know, is it possible women can collude to try to get a payday? Absolutely.
Yeah, but he's a nasty-ass freak.
But that's I don't think he should even be playing football anymore.
Obviously this was as something that it does make his skin crawl because of the numbers and all those different things. And, you know, it's obviously it's not a conclusion for those young ladies that were affected by it. They're going to think about this forever, but obviously, the Browns know what they can do now as far as Vegas can start laying odds. Now you look at Cleveland. What does Cleveland do now as far as the quarterback situation? I like Jacoby. I've seen what Jacoby can do. You know, this is a Super Bowl roster, all right, with Deshaun Watson on it. Now it's just a really good football team. Do you go and try and get Jimmy Garoppolo now, who is better than Jacoby Brissett?
Yes. Okay. Garoppolo gets a bad rap.
I'm with you. I think they should. I think they should, but obviously he won't be back until week 13.
Thank God the Falcons dodged that bullet.
It does seem like it's a dodge bullet now.
That was that just reeked of desperation by the Falcons, I think, to go down that road, because that's just.
We know that it was the owner was just owner driven. I don't think that Terry and Arthur wanted any part of that Deshaun Watson thing. I do think that he was going to be a Falcon if the Cleveland Browns didn't come up with that $230 million guaranteed. I do believe that. I do believe that. But obviously, we got the news. Deshaun Watson again, 11 games, fined $5 million. It is agreed upon, but not signed.
All right, let's do a no huddle, shall we?
We're going no huddle.
With the Midday Show, no huddle.
The best the NFL has to offer.
Let's go now, let's go! Zach!
All right, Falcons getting ready to head up to Jersey. Them and the Jets going to have a couple of practices tomorrow and Saturday. Then they'll have the second exhibition game of the preseason on Monday night. We have some Arthur Smith. Who is this Falcon sound you speak of?
You know, this is different. You know, these are kind of – schedules change a lot, right? You start the preseason games. We had something different last night. Turn around, come out in the afternoon practice. Pretty short turnaround. Wanted to see guys compete. It was competitive, especially up front today, which you like to see. And so I was proud of our guys. It's never going to be perfect, but these guys have the right mindset and came with the right attitude and approach today. So that's good to see. But we got plenty of stuff to work on.
You know, my only takeaway from that first preseason game, it was a surprisingly well-played game for a first pre. It was kind of a clean game.
They played, Rob. They were going forward for a lot of the game, man. Yeah. And I just thought, and I said this the other day, Rob. It was like especially on that first drive, the first team offense had.
Yep.
And they had a bad play by Jake, who stepped wrong. Aiden beat him in the inside. They had a penalty, and yet that would have been a three and out for the Falcons. But they were able to overcome some of those things, had some big runs, and then Marcus Mariota was able to get a touchdown. So I thought that was really good for the first team offense.
I liked what he did. I know a lot of people are criticizing Mariota because he does have an injury history. Why are you running so aggressively in the He's trying to set a tone.
Yeah.
He's trying to say that that's him manifesting leadership skills by doing that. That's just showing he has some want to. And they're probably sick of hearing the fact they're only going to win two ball games this year.
Yeah, that's. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing right there. I look at it from a standpoint where they're getting better and better. You have to get better and better. And obviously this practice or what joint practice and all those different things are going to, you know, the Jets have some good players. And obviously you've been going against your teammates over and over again. The Jets have some good players, so it's going to be good to get
it's going to get a little chippy too, I bet.
Yeah, but
– like with the Patriots.
Yeah,
and
but
Panthers.
I mean, that just defeats the purpose of football sometimes, of getting better. Because it's always usually a young dork out there trying to fight somebody and stuff, man. That's what it is, man. And just like – or doing something like that. The reason the Patriots and Panthers got to fight because some dude from the Patriots threw down Christian McCaffrey.
Yep.
Okay, you don't do that. All right, I know, I understand he's your teammate, but, you know.
Well, they land on some woman's foot,
yeah,
so I guess she's going
to
sue.
Yeah, we know how to practice. That's what I'm saying. You got to know how to practice in situations like that. And I know, and it's a great meme that's going around right now about, what's the one I'm trying to get into? Brian, what's the one, the show, the old, God, dog it, on Netflix. It's an old gangster show I'm trying to get.
Ooh, Peaky Blinders?
Peaky Blinders, yeah. It's an old Peaky Blinders clip that's going around right now about NFL coaches doing joint practice. No fighting. No fighting. No fighting. No fighting, because the coaches don't want no fights.
Oh, they did.
Yeah, they don't want that.
This
don't
was
want that crap.
So funny. Back in 1990, you had the Falcons coached by Jerry Glanville. You had Buddy Ryan coaching the Eagles. Falcons and Eagles had a joint practice down in Macon, Georgia.
Down Mac Town.
30 fights that day. They had to call in a local sheriff to try to restore order. That's how bad that got.
You get nothing done. You get nothing done. I mean, cool, whatever. You fight. You don't make the team being able to learn knowing how to fight. All right, you make the team knowing how to play.
So
period.
You brought up Jimmy Garoppolo. Should he end up going to the Browns? Or Kyle Shanahan was kind of, I guess you could say, cross-examined over the fact that he drafted Trey Lance over Mac Jones.
So, I mean, I always compare it to how I buy houses. Like, when my wife would bring me to a house she loves, I go through the house and I point out every single thing that's wrong with every single thing with it. Usually by the end of it, she's in tears and she's apologizing to the to the realtor for how offensive I've been. And then I come out and they're out there and they're like, what do you think? I'm like, oh, I like this one. Let's get this. And they're like, what the hell are you talking about? And I was just like, no, I realized the things that were wrong. So, and I know we can fix those three things. So let's go off the potential of this. And that's how I was with him and Mac, because Mac had so much good stuff on tape the way he played. And Trey, I loved what he put on tape. It was a year of football. So it wasn't totally enough, and especially the division. But the more you dive into it, the more I got to know the guy, the more I got to find out some stuff about him, the more I believed in what I didn't see and what I believe we will see.
I mean, that's so true.
Oh,
I mean,
shut the absolute hell
so
up,
true.
Kyle Shanahan.
Well, I mean, yeah,
I know I will never forgive him for the Super Bowl, dude.
Most people ain't. No, not most. All people here in Atlanta won't forgive him either.
When I see his face.
You want to punch him in it.
I want to punch him with a blunt object.
Yeah, but do you remember that draft and everybody was like three? They were trading all that to get Mac Jones and couldn't nobody believe it. I was like, nobody trading to get Mac Jones, you know? And obviously he thinks and we use a phrase here, Rob. Uno Nuno, talking about himself. I can coach this kid up. I can do this. I. And he's banking on that in order for them to justify this draft pick. Obviously he's already come out of camp. This is Trey's team, so obviously they're trying to trade Jimmy Garoppolo. Now it seems like there's a spot for Jimmy Garoppolo to go to, which is Cleveland. But yeah, Kyle's banking on himself. Now the house situation, if you've never been through that situation with your wife, then I mean, you know, trying to buy a house and y'all don't like the same thing, like no.
You just defer to the woman, happy wife, happy life.
That ain't necessarily true.
Not always.
But not for a house.
Sometimes you have to plant a flag.
Yeah, house shopping, do not let her do everything, dog, because you'll be sitting in some stuff that you don't want after a while.
But outside of a house, though, you would never make a major consumer choice outside of your spouse, outside of the woman. You can't do it.
No.
You'd never go out and buy a couch. You'd never like anything you bought, and you'd never hear the end of it.
Rob, when I met my wife, I had my house and furniture, everything, Rob. It was nice, laid. It was beautiful. Had all kind of modern furniture.
All that stuff's a long-distant memory now, isn't it?
Ain't nothing left.
You can just move it downstairs to the man room.
That's the only thing I got. I got a custom-made TV stand, big TV stand in my basement. That's in my basement now. That I originally bought in my house in Florida. It's the only thing that's left. She took and got rid of everything, Rob.
That's where all my stuff is. Everything's down.
Yeah, she got rid of all, got rid of everything, Rob. Everything that made me a man, she got rid of.
Toxic masculinity. Yes. Give me a freaking break. Yes. Passive masculinity. That's what we've been turned into. Oh, Joe Burrow had a little medical issue. How did he know about it? What were the signs of the medical issue? Let's hear from Joe Cool.
It wasn't the normal appendicitis that you hear about. I didn't really feel much. Just was getting checked out and had some discomfort, and so we thought we'd get it checked out. Turns out I had it, so we had to get it fixed. Not ideal timing, obviously, but glad it happened now and not halfway through the year.
Yeah, he's absolutely correct.
At least it didn't burst.
At least it didn't burst, and at least it didn't happen in the middle of the season and everything. I know we talk about Super Bowl hangovers and everything from the winter. I think the Bengals might have a Super Bowl hangover.
I think they might.
Yeah, I think they might. I think they might. I don't know what makes me think that, but I don't think – because you look back at their season last year, like Ryan Tannehill threw three damn interceptions.
Yeah.
But now I give Joe Burrow all the credit. He was sacked nine damn times and kept coming back. But Tennessee handed him that game. They really, really did.
But going out to win at Kansas City was –
that was impressive. That was impressive. But, yeah.
They improved their offensive line, though, because they had to.
They did, but I still – I don't know. I just think the Bengals are going to take a step back, especially if Lamar Jackson is healthy all year.
Amon-Ra St. Brown names all the wide receivers drafted before him. Is this a petty thing to do?
No, it's not petty. It's just something that if you succeed – then you'll go back to it. See, that's why I succeeded right there. Not because I'm good. I work hard and all those different things.
But you remember all the tight ends drafting.
But I wasn't good because of that.
Yeah.
Now, when I was young, that's my motivation. No, I was good because I worked my ass off to be a good football player. That had nothing to do with them. But, because for some reason, Rob, I can't get into Hard Knocks. But I actually was trying to watch it yesterday because, obviously, the Falcons were going to be on this.
Yep.
And I got to that part where he was at, and I was like, you know what? I don't know why I should still want. Because it was, but the great thing about him, I forgot his brother plays in the league also.
Yep.
They're trained by their father, which is so cool. Their dad was Mr. Universe or something, so they trained with his father. But
Hard Knocks is kind of,
I just can't get into it.
Really good friend of mine. He's from Detroit.
Right.
Lives over there in Decatur. He's from Detroit. Lives and dies with the Lions. He can't watch either. He says it's just ridiculous. It has become kind of jumped the shark a little
bit. It is, man. But another thing I saw was Deuce Staley, who I think just the world of.
Yeah.
Should be a head coach. Him talking to DeAndre Swift. And that was just so good. Because DeAndre is – a player like DeAndre, who is so naturally freaking talented, needs a coach like him, all right, to get that other stuff out of you, outside of your natural talents. And I just love how he was – and I think he's just going to be a good influence on DeAndre. DeAndre's got to stay healthy.
Yep.
DeAndre got to stay healthy. But
we really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I love that part when Deuce was talking to DeAndre Swift last night.
All right, let's hear the petty grievances from Mr. Amon-Ra St. Brown.
The draft experience was draft experience.
With the fifth pick in the 2021 NFL Draft.
I can tell you all 16 receivers and where they went to college.
Jamar Chase,
LSU, Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith,
wide receiver,
Alabama, Kadarius Toney, Florida, Rashad Bateman, Minnesota, Elijah Moore, Rondell Moore, Dwayne Eskridge, Tutu Atwell, Louisville, Terrace Marshall, LSU.
Wide receiver, LSU.
With the 77th pick,
Josh Palmer, Tennessee.
Josh Palmer.
De'Ami Brown, UNC, Amari Rodgers, Clemson, Nico Collins, Michigan, Anthony Schwartz, Auburn.
With the 109th pick,
and Des Fitzpatrick, Louisville.
Okay. Well, good for you.
Good for you.
You have your little platform now to cast aspersions good upon everybody that passed.
I mean, he played well last night. We just talking to Brian, said he won a lot of guys their fantasy team because when you're looking at fantasy football, it don't matter when you get the yards as long as you get the yards. And playing the receiver position for the Detroit Lions, you're going to be in a lot of games where you're trailing by triple digits. I mean, I'm sorry, three touchdowns or more. So what do? You throw the football.
Yes, you do.
You throw the football. But good for the young man. I mean, obviously, I'm not going to poo-poo what he did. If that's what you got to tell yourself to make you work out harder and all those things, all right.
Well, Tom Brady's carried that chip on his shoulder.
Yeah, all those Tom is just great.
Quickly, let's get to Jerry Jones. He's feeling some urgency.
Well, I need to win it. I need to win it.
But I'll be candid with you. There's degrees. I want to be fair to everybody concerned. We need to be in the playoffs. We need to be viable in the playoffs to have be a successful season.
Oh, God. It's almost been 30 years, Jerry. He's turning into, you know, Al Davis kind of lost it towards the end.
I don't think he's gonna going to be Al. Down that I don't road. Think he's going to be Al Davis.
I think
Davis.
He already is.
No, I don't think Jerry just want to win. And Jerry has the most lucrative franchise in the world.
Yes, he
not
does.
Not in the country, in the world.
Well, that roster's built to win this year.
They're not better this year than they were last year. Like the losses they have on the offensive line, and then Tyron, and then the Zach, they're getting old.
Yeah,
they're getting old. And Zeke, everybody's working on Zeke. You lose Amari Cooper. Is CeeDee Lamb ready to be a number one receiver? I mean, there's so many different things. There's so many different things. And this is the thing now, because my man Chris, make it make sense about Calvin Ridley getting. Calvin Ridley knew he could not gamble on games. That's the difference. All right,
I'm not saying.
Hey, what Deshaun Watson did was way more egregious.
Yep.
You cannot gamble on NFL games, period.
You can't do it.
It's not the same.
That starts so eroding people the public
I wish,
trust
I
in
wish
the
– people would stop doing it. Free Ridley, no. Calvin was wrong.
Yeah.
No matter what, you cannot gamble on football. There's a big-ass sign when you walk in the locker room about gambling. You can't do it.
You can't erode the integrity
that,
of the game.
You can't
fans.
Do it.
Nope, can't do it. All right, get back into the Braves have a chance to take 3 out of 4 tonight from the division leading Mets. We're going to get on that next. The Braves 3 up, 3 down. Andy and Randy, Rob Tribble filling in. This is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey. There's the line drive. There's the hit. 2 more are going to score. 9-7. The Braves are still alive. Grissom with a 2-strike knock.
This is the most cold-blooded entrance for a closer. I gotta say, I love this so much.
Oh man, this is because Bo. I think Bo's one was telling us about it. I didn't been paying attention when I started. I was like, damn, I love this, man. And then Bo got me and Samson some great seats at the park one time, and I just couldn't wait. And so I ran to the bathroom right before he came up, and was rushing to get back out there because I just wanted to see it. And they didn't play it, Rob. And so I was like, damn. So I just sat there and I had to use the bathroom again because I was, you know, it was free drink.
We were at that age.
Yeah, it's free drink, so I had to take advantage of it.
Every morning, 3:30 a.m., gotta get up and pee.
Yeah. Damn it.
Didn't they end up playing it, though?
They ended up playing it when I ran back out there in the middle of the
– But they didn't play it on every
at-bat? They didn't play it the first time. They didn't play it the first at-bat. But
Enter Sandman with Mariano Rivera.
It's still the greatest. But this is so awesome. And, the Diaz, it is still cool, though.
It is cool. It's really cool.
But it's not better than ours. All right? Okay, Bo, I'm got you. It's not better than ours. But at the same time, obviously, this young man, you look at him. Hell, I won't be surprised if Alex gave him a contract next week.
Right?
Yeah, I won't be surprised. If Alex, hey, contract here's 6 for $60 million or something like that. I would not be surprised at that.
Got some other guys to lock up, though. How do you feel about that young core being locked up? I mean, love every set. Stability is a wonderful thing.
Oh, I'm all for it. I'm all for it because of the fact is that it was crazy. When I first started working here, you would always just hear about all these damn prospects they had. And it was like, this guy.
And
like,
your Chuck recalled the Partridge Family bus to and from Gwinnett.
Yeah, I mean, you would just hear it. It's like, oh, my God. And now you're starting to get to see these guys go out and play. And, I mean, obviously, you know, they are still real – I mean, it's one thing to lock up your core, but most of them were 26 years old. Yeah. I think also
– Younger.
Younger. I think Dansby's about 27. But other than that,
he's about 27.
Other than that, I mean, all these guys are 26, 25, 24, 21-year-olds. I mean, they're still so relatively young. And for them to be under the control that they're under for as long as they are. Like, we don't have to worry about Michael Harris. We don't have to worry about Ronald Acuna, Ozzy, nobody for a minute as far as when it comes to contracts.
You're going to have to – now, Vaughn Grissom, I know. Small sample size,
yes,
but he's been doing the job certainly.
Yes.
That make Dansby feel a certain way? Well, you know,
how can it make Dansby feel a certain type of way?
Because what if Vaughn Grissom could move over to? He's a middle infielder.
He's a middle infielder. But how are they gonna make Dansby feel a certain type of way?
Well, the emergence of Vaughn Grissom maybe would make the Braves rethink.
Oh,
that would make them lowball Dansby.
I think they're going to lowball him anyways.
Well, yeah.
That's the nature of contract negotiation. They're always going to start off with a lowball figure. But obviously, these young players have been really, really well. Like I said, Grissom is a small sample size, but the sample size has been good in the small it has been. So, but I still think Dansby will be here, though.
I like the fact that you've got a Gold Glover at shortstop. Yes. That's your most important defensive position for the most part.
Yes, and he's playing at such a high level, too.
And plus, he's got that chemistry with Ozzy. Yes. Turn the double, and Ozzy's coming back next month.
Yes.
I like the fact maybe Vaughn Grissom in left field next year. Like
I mean, that's the first thing that everybody says is that, you know, it goes back to when they signed Matt Olson, I still had to hope that, well, maybe Matt Olson's going to play third. They're still going to sign Freddie. They're not going to let Freddie walk. Maybe Matt Olson can play third. Or can he play out? I mean, just the funny scenarios that you're thinking about.
But Vaughn Grissom would be so much better than what they have in left field.
I mean, yeah, we've seen Contreras out there. Yeah, Contreras not. No. Eddie Rosario's not the long-term answer. No. Obviously, I mean, you would think that Drew Waters would be that guy, but obviously he's –
Well, they traded
him. Exactly. He's thought he was going to be – but you remember last year he was on that untouchable list.
He was.
Him past Shea, all them boys. And now it just ain't the case no more. And Michael made him expandable. Michael was like, oh, we got this guy Michael.
And we didn't hear about Michael.
We
heard about Drew Waters.
We didn't hear about Michael. And now he's like, oh, damn, well, yeah, we can get rid of Christian Pache, go get our first baseman of the future. Drew Waters, yeah, you were untouchable, huh? Let's touch him up.
Until you weren't.
Yep. Let's touch him up.
Important to get four earned runs off Scherzer last night. I think it certainly can never hurt.
Right.
Because we're going to be seeing them again. You probably could run into them in the playoffs.
How many more games they got left of them? But then they've got
another series. Another series. Three. Is it the penultimate series of the season?
This is the penultimate series. Oh, well, you're talking about the entire season. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Three more after today.
Okay. So, I mean, obviously, I mean, you can't tell the days from now until then if you'll see him again. But, I mean, they have roughed up Scherzer when he's with the Nationals. So, it's not like they haven't gotten to him. It's just been this year he's been so dominant. But obviously they were able to touch him up yesterday, and they're gonna have to do the same thing today. You know, the thing with it is they got the run support that they needed, but they got it late. Yep. You know, that's what I'm saying.
A little bit too late.
If they could have matched it earlier in the game, they would have had an opportunity to win the game.
Would you like to see Snitker get thrown out more? Brian Snitker, a rare ejection last night.
That wasn't even an aggressive ejection either. Yeah. That's the thing about it.
It wasn't like Earl Weaver kicking dirt on the umpire, that's what I'm saying. Bobby Cox spinning.
What did Snick say?
It was it's a verb. It was a verbal ejection. Like, he didn't have to get crazy with his.
I know, but what did old Mr. Snick, Grandpa Snick, World Series champion Snick, the loving, devoted husband, just
may or may not have been an F-bomb or two in there.
Yeah. Okay, that ain't bad.
But you come out the dugout firing F-bombs and arguing at ball
strike. Did he say was he giving an F-bomb, or did he say the F-bomb your mama or something like that?
I don't think he's going to go talk about
that. Of course, Snick would never say that. But I'm just saying.
Snick's known for his you mom insult.
For using the F-bomb, that gets you thrown out. Even in the
You're arguing a ball
and
strike.
In the calmness of the tone that he used. He just probably said that.
Oh, no, but that F-bomb nothing calm about it.
The
umpire could hear him, and he ejected him immediately.
It looked calm from the
TV. And I think that Snit knew that he had to be kind of aggressive on that because he had to save Riley. Riley was going to get tossed.
Because it was a crap call.
Yeah, it was.
It was a crap call.
Horrible.
It was a crap call. But, yeah.
Well, the robots will be here before you know it.
They will at this point.
Yep.
I just feel bad, man, because Snit. And even the ejection was calm. He's just like, you're out. Like, most of the time, you know how umpires in today's baseball want to be a part of the show. He even ejected Snit real soft. You're out of here. Like, I mean, if I'm going to get ejected, I need a guy to go, like, all theatrical ejection.
There's one old video, it's like from the 70s, of Earl Weaver. He goes up to the umpire, I want you to throw me out. You need to throw me out. I need to get my guys going. You need to throw me out. And he's doing it as he's yelling at him, throw me out. Please throw me out. It's pretty funny. So managers will use that to kind of wake up the bench. You know?
Yeah, I guess. But obviously, that was a crap call. I mean, because of the fact, it's like, is he – if it was a check, we might have had an argument, but that ball was high and outside, eyeball level. But yet, I mean, it's 2022, and we still don't know what a damn strike
is. But, I'm not wrong. I thought it's really a thin line. If you argue balls and strikes the slightest, you're gone. That they really started – they planted a flag on that and drew a line.
Yeah, and you could tell that Riley was going there.
Yep.
You know, Riley was probably about 5 seconds from being tossed himself.
Guys should use their heads, though. If you get on the home plate umpire, what's he going to do? He's going to take it out on your pitcher. He's going to squeeze the pitcher. Those borderline pitches, he's not going to call them. Guys got to be careful about that. I mean, that's just the bottom line. How happy are you? I was really happy to see Mike Soroka have a good outing from what he's been through. Can you imagine what that was like? Having a torn Achilles is enough. That's a horrible injury.
Yes.
And then he does it again.
Yes.
And now he's back. And everybody's saying, well, you just pitched against single A, So what?
So what?
So what?
That meant everything to him. It meant a lot to all of us, too, just to see him, because we saw how great he was before he got hurt.
Right.
And for him to go down the way he did and then it just injured again, I mean, just the mental part about that, just trying to overcome. Because I said it yesterday, I've never had it, but I know got plenty of teammates and homeboys who've had it. Yep. And they say the Achilles rehab is the hardest there is.
It is.
It's the hardest there is.
That's like 16 months.
That's the hardest there is. And then you rehab it and all those different things. And then for you to think that you're ready and then all of a sudden it goes out again. Obviously, the mental hurdle, a lot of pain and sweat and tears went into that rehab for a second time. But to see him go out there and do his thing, and I know you asked us pre-show, like, how long before he comes up?
Is it another month?
Maybe another month. Yeah. Maybe a month. But I'm not banking on it yet. I don't want to put too many expectations on it, because we're praising it because he went, what he did, struck out 8 of the first 9 batters he faced and all those different things. But if it went the other way around, we're like, damn, he ain't ready yet.
Funny thing he said, I think he said, I'm going to stop dunking off this foot when I dunk a basketball.
Yeah, so please don't pick up no basketball. Please don't pick up a basketball.
But imagine if he comes back and what he was before. You have him, you have Strider, you have Max Fried. I mean, that's a murderer's.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Throw pitchers. It's not Smoltz, Maddox, and Glavin. But
no, and then Ian Anderson can pitch.
Yes, he can.
Yes, Ian Anderson can get down and get busy. But, I mean, the overall view of the Braves going forward. They're in the World Series business for a long time.
Yes, they are.
That's my boy Chuck's favorite word. They're in the World Series business for a long time. It ain't going to be one of those, you know, we're going to fall off, we're going to see a little dip. No. This is going to be one of the best teams in baseball for years.
I think they'll be able to sustain it 5, 6, 7 years. They should. They have. There's no excuse.
There's no reason why they shouldn't outside of injury.
Yep.
Yeah, outside of injury, there's no reason with the ball players that they have that they should not be in the contention for 7, 8 straight years.
All right, starting rotation moving forward, Kyle Moeller, Bryce Elder, do the Braves use them moving forward? The sample size certainly isn't all that impressive.
No, they're hit or miss. Yep. Like, when they're on,
you're
like, look at this young boy. And then you're like, damn, young boy. You know, so I mean, they're so up and down.
Would you rather have those young guys out there or Odorizzi? Like, would you rather
see the young guys.
Okay.
The young guys.
How about you, Rob? Like, would you rather Jake Odorizzi go out next time around when it's his part in the rotation, or would you rather see Moeller or Elder go out there?
I would like to give him another start.
Odorizzi?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would, as much as I was kind of lampooning it, but you can't let a guy go out like that.
He's also the guy who's got the best chance probably to be the, like, long reliever out of the pen come playoff time versus the younger guys. So, from a confidence standpoint, you're right, Snit will probably want to keep him in there.
There's a lot of – Bobby Cox was famous about this, too. If you have a bad outing, you're right back out there.
Yeah.
Especially in the bullpen, you're right back out there the next day, and that's how you should handle it. Absolutely. So, awesome pitching matchup. And I got Max Fried and Jacob DeGrom, and we saw what Jacob did to the Braves. What do you have, 13 strikeouts that game, it seemed like?
I don't know.
That game in New York? Oof.
He was cutting their, you know what, up. Hey, dive into history and culture of baseball, unofficial rule book with Unwritten, a new podcast hosted by former players Ron Darling and Jimmy Rollins. Unwritten looks into the secrets of all that other stuff, like bean balls, brawls. I mean, we call them baseball pushes. download Unwritten at the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Those are the most tortured reads of it's like you prefer not to do it, but I'm neglecting my duties.
You are, Rob.
At least you're there to pick up.
I got you, brother. You know that.
I appreciate you, man. All right, damn good deal with Brian coming up next. Rob Tribble in for Andy Bunker. This is Sports Radio 929 The Game, flagship station of the Atlanta Falcons, Atlanta Hawks, Atlanta United. Kenny Mayne has joined the Odyssey family with his new podcast, Hey Mayne. Each week, Kenny will talk to someone he knows a little and is fascinated by a lot. Athletes, musicians, celebrities, just about anyone else. New episode this Thursday featuring Bill Walton. He's going to be baked as hell on that, isn't he?
That should really be the promo for it, right?
Yeah,
there.
That's right. Yeah,
you're welcome.
Yeah, because that's, you know what? Because once Bill gets going, he's gonna he is gonna go. But I was going look at it. Look at this, because now you're seeing all the statements, Deshaun Watson, and now D and Jim Haslam. whatever the damn name are, they are a piece of you know what. They just some crappy. They just crappy human beings. And their damn statement. But I was thinking about something because I remember because 11 games, it just seems so random. I remember when
11? Yeah, why is that?
Because I remember this. I remember Schefter saying this. He said the NFL does not want him to play in that Houston game. And that's the 12th game of the year. So what I'm thinking during the negotiation, he said, I'll sign it if I can play in that damn Houston game. Because 11 is just a random number. It just really is a random number of games.
Shouldn't be playing at all. That
was the thing. I remember Schefter said this before even the initial thing came out. He said they do not want him to play in this game in Houston.
I wonder if they look at it this way. It used to be a 16 game season. 10 game suspension for a 16 game season, 11 or 17.
That's the way it looks. But I'm just telling right now, like, I don't know what they're going to do, but you think that, I mean, he already missed 2 years of football.
Yep.
He's going to be rusty as hell. You saw him in the first preseason game, he was rusty. Yep. So, I mean, but yeah.
Oh, the heckles were brilliant, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
that's low hanging fruit, though. It's kind of easy.
You can deal with hecklers. You can deal. I mean, if you
can. But I'm saying from my perspective,
if you can't deal with hecklers, then you shouldn't be a professional, anyways. But that's about it.
Well, let's go to damn good big deal with Brian. Brian's moment in the spotlight.
And now, 92.9 The Game presents Big Deal, Small Deal, or No Deal with Brian Gebhardt on the Andy and Randy Midday Show.
This worked out a little bit too well for the NFL, though, with the Browns and Texans playing in that week 12, or I guess it's week 13 technically, because they'll probably have bye weeks. I mean, do you think that, you know, the powers that be just kind of looked at and go, well, he's got to play at some point again, so he might as well sell the hell out of it and have people watch it. And it wound up being a good thing in an odd way for when this thing ends for the NFL. Do you think they just look back and go, all right, we can turn this into a positive because – we can get good ratings out of a Browns-Texans game.
I mean, that's
precisely what it is.
That's precisely because tell me that ain't when. Is that right on when they start flexing games and stuff, right?
Yeah, it's December the 4th, which off the top of my head, I think is a Saturday, it might not be. Let me see real quick.
I'll just tell you what. I mean, they're just glad that this is over. It'll be a situation that's going to be talked about all day today, tomorrow. And then it'll be mentioned when you talk about the
Something
Browns.
Will happen to knock it out of the news cycle. That's what happens in every aspect of life.
Exactly, man. But I think this, the thing with the NFL is I thought the NFL was going to give him a whole year. I think they should have gave him a whole year. But obviously 11 games he'll be able to play this year. Now it's all about what the Browns do with quarterback because can they get – because last time Jacoby Brissett got a talented team like this, he went to bed. Yeah. And they built that team for Andrew Luck. And all they needed was him not to play okay. They needed him to be – above average, and he was average to below.
All right, so big deal, small deal, no deal. We'll start here. Stetson Bennett on the cover of Sports Illustrated, the old, guy who could, little engine that could, going to be a national champion, defending quarterback, coming back, and now he's on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Big deal, small deal, no deal there, Randy.
Oh, this is a big damn deal, man. You want to talk about the ultimate, like they're going to make a movie about this. They're going to make a movie about it. It's probably going to be
like a Rudy 2.0.
Yeah, it's probably going to be on the Peacock channel. But, I mean, they're going to
– it feels like Hulu.
Straight to Hulu, Hulu. Or, this is definitely like – yeah, I'll go Hulu. I was gonna do my boy Ross get like a Hallmark channel or something. But
oh no, he's better than Hallmark.
Seth's better than Hallmark.
Yeah, come on now.
But but good for him, man. I mean, just Rob going into the season as a fourth quarterback, don't know what's gonna happen. Then you lead your team, lead this team to the first national championship over 4 years.
It's just a lesson.
Yeah.
Never pout about, I'm not playing. You never know when your number's gonna be called, and you better damn be ready.
Yep, and he was ready.
It's a big deal to me. Good for him.
What do you expect out of him this year, Rob? Like, this is something we talked about the last couple of weeks or whatever. Do you think there's another gear for him potentially, or he just kind of is what he is? Is there anything? Okay, gotcha.
But the offense is going to be better with they've got some more weapons. That wide receiver room is pretty crowded and talented, and that tight end room as well.
Yeah,
and you got your OC back as well. Yeah. The continuity is there too, so that's a big thing. Sticking with college football, big deal, small deal, no deal. College football playoff board discussing the possibility of restructuring how college football is governed, meaning leaving the NCAA. They've actually had a formal meeting about it now. Big deal, small deal, no deal.
It's a big deal because is this actually putting wheels, steps, or whatever you want to call it, in motion for this to actually happen? And, I never thought it would, I promise you, because the NCAA has always dragged their damn feet in everything.
Yep.
And so now I think – now that I saw that they're going to finally start playing players, what I never thought would happen, this right here just seems like it's a foregone conclusion.
It's a big deal. Because the NCAA has always been so feckless and weird about how they enforce different rules and how they apply them to different teams, different players, blah, blah, blah. How's this going to manifest? So we're going to have a college football grand poobah, a czar of college football, like a commissioner type?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Might as well. And we've talked about it. Might as well make it Greg Sankey. He's the head. Like, if you go mob style with it, he's the biggest leader of the biggest family, and he's done
Greg
the best
Sankey
job.
I like Greg Sankey a lot.
So.
He seems so cool. Sankey's
very cool.
He's a
very,
very
cool.
Deep dude,
very
smart
cat.
Dude,
very
psychologically
cool
astute.
Yeah, yep. And he's gotten like more comfortable and confident in his role and just the way that he's grown the league and everything. He's going to be looking at
how
like
he going to grow the league? Because if the Big Ten is making a $1 billion TV contract and the SEC is making $590 million, that ain't going to sit well with Sankey.
He's probably calling up the lawyers and the negotiators and all that.
Yes.
Now, do you think, when I read this, and I don't know the details of it specifically, but like, this is now we're getting to the point where this is full-on minor league football, right? Like, are we going to – this is going to happen. It's a matter of time. Do you think kids are, like, not going to have to go to school, anything like that? Don't
classes,
even have to worry – NIL stuff, school, anything like that? They're just literally going to be playing for the University of Georgia or whatever it is?
No.
Or do you think they're going to have to still, like, go to school?
I think they're still going to have to go to school.
Okay.
I don't see how they're going to be able to get around the student-athlete – the student part of student-athlete. I don't see how they can
do
that.
But if you're not – but you're starting your own governing body.
That is true.
Like, you don't have to.
That's the thing about it. Everything in college football is about that bread. I don't think that they will put that on it, though. Just to take that part out of college football, being the student, even though we all know what it is, I just don't see them doing that.
Hey, with CERN opening portals to hell, anything's possible in this day and age. Everything's so weird in this
world.
That
is true,
anyway.
Though, but yeah, I can't see that.
How do you think fans would accept that or not accept that?
Hey, you can't pay them. That sweatsuit wasn't enough for you up there in Athens.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I don't want that quarterback. He's not taking algebra.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think anyone would really care after a while, right? Like, that's the whole idea of it. Because then if you get away from the NCAA, you don't have to do gray shirts and red shirts and blue shirts and orange shirts, and you don't have to do 85 scholarships, and you're not going to get sanctioned for certain things. So I think it winds up being just dudes playing minor league college football.
I don't see
and
that.
If they're students, great. If they're not, whatever at the same time. Big deal, small deal, no deal. We had the NBA schedule come out yesterday. Technically 18 national games for the Hawks.
Well, hold on, man.
But it's really eight. It's really eight games.
NBA TV is
– It's not available everywhere nationally, though.
Oh, it's not?
No. I mean, people got to pay that extra thing as versus the standard cable package.
Oh, I didn't know that. I was about to poo-poo on your argument.
Give it a whirl.
I thought
waiting to pounce.
I thought NBA TV was, was national everywhere. But obviously it's not.
Yeah.
I mean –
but eight games on TNT and ESPN.
That's good. That's good. Obviously, you hope that the TNT games is the night that Shaq and Charles and EJ and them are working. But, I mean, all right, good for them.
It's a small deal. Just don't play complacent like you did. They played like they'd arrived last
year. Yes, they did. Mm-hmm. They played like it, and they thought like it.
Yeah.
And they thought like
it. You ain't won jack.
Final one for you guys. Big deal, small deal, no deal. The fact that you actually get Max Fried versus Jacob deGrom as the finale for the series. The Braves have the chance to win 3 out of 4, but it not being – Kyle Wright's been really good, but not being Kyle Wright or any of the other starters, it's the ace going tonight against deGrom. Big deal, small deal, no deal.
It's a big deal because Max is back. That was a hard fall that he had last time. Very unathletic fall that he had against the Mets and everything. So hopefully he didn't have no luck facing Scherzer head on. Maybe he can get it going because Max is too good of a pitcher to struggle the way he did in those two games against the Mets. Against Max Scherzer, especially.
Max has that dog in him.
He does.
And we're going to see it tonight.
Don't have that damn glove flapping. Don't be flapping the glove, all right? Just go out there and just do Max. Do Max.
It's going to be fascinating to watch. But I still think it's going to be like a 6-3 ball game in a third, and both pitchers will be out.
See, we don't need that. We need Max to go at least six.
We got our big clip coming up at the top of the hour. Rob Tribble in for Andy Bunker. It's Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.